What's up, everybody? It's Austin Rivers from the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's a new year, and I have a new podcast here at The Ringer, Off Guard, hosted by me and my guy, Pasha Hagigi.
Austin and I go way back and talk so much hoop already that we figured it was time to fire up the mics and let you in on all of these conversations.
Every week, Pasha and I will hit on the biggest stories happening in the league
and get Austin's perspective of someone currently hooping in the NBA.
Tap into Off Guard every Friday on the Ringer NBA show feed on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Hi everyone, welcome to Writer's House. Hope you are all safe and well. Today we are going to talk about Rafaela's departure from Arsenal, the Women's World Cup broadcast rights, Manchester United's win over Chelsea, and the unfortunate passing of the legendary Tina Turner. And my guest star, Mayowa Quadri and Flo Lloyd Hughes. How are you, Flo Lloyd Hughes?
I'm good.
What's happening? Hey, Flo.
What's that? Bro, listen, I just want to... Are you okay, bro?
Why? But the thing is, right, two pods I did with Mayowa, we always come on after a really embarrassing Chelsea game.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a setup.
Yeah, no, 100% is. 100% is. But to be fair, there's not been any good Chelsea performances for me to come on anyway.
It's like an episode of Punked, and we're Ashton Kutcher and someone else, and we're just every single time, it's like, psych, gotcha.
We'll come to that. But like, we have to go to Flo because she done an unbelievable piece about Rafaela from Arsenal.
She did.
Maybe leaving Florenstein. How can we say it? She's the breaker.
Floracle.
It was a beautiful piece, but I'm very sad.
Yeah, so yesterday, myself and Tim Stillman broke the news that Rafaela Souza at Arsenal, big Arsenal Brazilian centre-back, is going to be leaving the club this summer. Not a question of being unhappy at the club or anything like that. It's just the fact, and this might sound silly, but I don't think she's really blended to English life, especially the weather, a whole lot, which is hard. It's hard, I think, for a lot of players who aren't used to playing on this side of the world. And, you know, it's a different culture. It's a different climate. And I think it is quite tough. But it's going to be a massive loss to that team, especially because of the injuries. So a busy summer ahead for Arsenal. We already knew it was going to be a busy summer, but she's going to be a massive loss.
I think, you know, especially you look at her age as well, you know, and her parents, because they, you know, they travel with the whole family and mum's here and that. And you can imagine at this stage of her career, and we know how much she loves Arsenal, it must be such a wrench for her to leave like that. And probably her mum will be a major factor in it. And obviously, if it is Orlando, which we're hearing,
it looks like it's going to be Pride and
Orlando Pride. So, you know, they're going to get the weather. She's getting to that stage of her career. She'll probably get a 4-year deal. You know what I mean? She could see her contract out there. And, you know, she's had her experience here. But, like, of course, from our point of view, to lose a player of that level, you know, the Brazilian captain, you know what I mean? Left-sided, you know, one of the best dribblers in the league, if you ask me. One of the best dribblers in the league. And we're losing that. And like Flo, I have to echo what you said there. We're going to really have to do some good work in the summer to try and replace
that. There's some young players as well, because obviously Lotton Webb and Moy is still kind of progressing with her experience. Rafaela Souza's 31. Mm. Like you said, she's got a lot of caps for Brazil as well. Yep. And Taya Goldie's just coming up now, really, and getting to grips with senior football. Jem Beattie's very experienced, but isn't the same level as Rafa, so it's going to be a massive miss. So I think they're expecting the deal to be done maybe just before or just after the World Cup, because obviously it's a weird time for players, because a lot of players are trying to sort things out. Mm. And the World Cup is not really far away, but it's also very close. So I think that it's going to be a busy couple of weeks for a lot of players.
Can I say, just on the World Cup, whatever's going on with the broadcasters and that, for me and FIFA, they've got to sit down and resolve and sort that out, man. Because, like, how can the Women's World Cup can't not be across Europe, man? How can we not be showing that? When you look at this, it would never happen in the men's game. We've got 6 weeks to go and we still don't know who the main broadcaster is. Now, I know that we've kind of, here in England, we're trying to get ours sorted, but it's in Germany, it's in Spain, it's in Italy. It's like, I cannot understand how they can't get back around the table and sort this out with 6 weeks to go. Look at the amount of opportunities missed out on in respect to sponsorship deals leading into it, you know, being on billboards, blasting it. I cannot believe that we've got to a place where we still, with 6 weeks to go, we still haven't found out properly, the broadcasters, what's going on for the women's game. And you know what? It's like Infantino, I have to say, across the world, you have to say, it's really, really bad. It's not a good look. It's not a good look. 6 weeks and the women are playing in their greatest moments. Their greatest moments. And still, there's you walk down the street and ask them, people don't even know. There's nothing being blasted about it.
Yeah, it's a really weird one, because, of course, this is going to be the biggest tournament yet.
Mm.
If you think about the climate in the UK after the Euros, you'd expect there to be more presence, bigger and even better. Mm-hmm. But it just feels really weird. You wouldn't know that there's a major tournament happening. I mean, I think there was more sort of like, in the UK anyway, more knowledge of the Arnold Clark probably happening than there is right now, which is really worrying. And hopefully there can be a resolution, because ultimately the people that are really losing out here are the players.
You know, the thing is that there's so many opportunities now to blast it as well. You know, so many opportunities to blast it. And, you know, they've just missed the opportunities. You know, all the so we've got a little bit of time now, but it's still, you know, where they can blast it, but it's still, it's so like crammed. It's crammed, man.
And also, you're going to lose a lot of the peak of the end of the season, which is when you want to tee up a lot of the fans all around Europe and say, the domestic club season is ending, but on the horizon, there's a great tournament, because they are going to take centre stage, because there is Nations League stuff, but let's be real, the Women's World Cup is the biggest thing happening this summer in football. So that should be the priority. And I think it is a shame to not see that focus, to not be able to see the ads, the promos, getting people hyped up. At this point, a few years ago, you know, we'd be seeing those amazing hype up videos where they get a performer to kind of do a montage about what's coming this summer. And I feel like we're missing out on building that excitement.
You know, the thing is, Flo, is that the excitement, obviously with the Euros, we should have went big. Everybody should be going big and continue to blast. That's what should happen. But you know what? More than anything else, it's the fans. Again, the fans that came in droves with the Euros and they're now still following, and we're seeing the uptake for women, for the women's game. And like, for this not to be blasted, you know, I really do feel for the fans, because when I was younger, I know it's the Men's World Cup, obviously, but I didn't care if it was on at 4 a.m. And, you know, it's a time where people will let you watch it.
2002.
You know, yes.
Literally, others could be the worst honestly, time zone, but we were all up watching it.
We get it done. And like, they could talk about whatever, about how much they want to pay for it and how much they're not going to pay. But the fact is, it should have been something that's done for the growth of the game. Because if we're going to be totally honest, the broadcasters, with the women's game and the way it's rising, they'll get it back. You have to speculate to accumulate. I'm not saying throw money away, but blast it, man, because they're going to come. The fans will come to this. It's really, I feel quite sad about the whole thing. But you know what? I'm going out from the start. I'm going to have a blast. I'm going to blast it. I'm going to blast it.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit AnytimeFitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
So, like I said, we'll get back to it, Mayowa, and we're at that place. We're at the back to it place. So, bro, I'm watching last night, and you know something? It's not even funny how chaotic Chelsea
looks. It is quite funny though.
You know, but I can't find it funny without like looking at them and thinking, my gosh, what the hell is going on here? Because obviously, Frank is my guy. It's not happening, bro. It's not happening.
I think the sad bit for me is when I saw them in the tunnel at Old Trafford before the game, and I just looked at the shots and thought, those guys look so scared, so nervous, and a combination of I don't want to be playing football right now because I know how this game's going to end. Mm-hmm. That is horrible to watch.
Jesus,
and the result itself.
Wow.
The back-to-back, obviously the final score was 4-1 in the end, right? But it back-to-back four-goal defeats for Frank Lampard against United.
Should we just call it what it is?
What is it, bro?
This is the worst campaign by a quote-unquote top side in recent history. And the reason why no one speaks about it is because every single game that Chelsea play now, you kind of expect that something ridiculous is going to happen. So it seems normal, but this shouldn't be normal. I think I said it the last few times I've been in the house that Chelsea are like the only club that could think everything was disappearing, get 600 mil injection and be way further back, where they were.
It's scary as well, actually.
It's really scary. And a new manager doesn't change this. There's so much bad stuff that's been... or good stuff that's been taken away. But I mean,
yeah, but
it's been three different managers and it's the same thing. Mm. So I don't want to just say just Frank.
No.
Also, if Thomas Tuchel hadn't have got those points at the start of the season,
we would have been in relegation.
Chelsea could be relegated.
West Ham could still finish above
us. I just say, with what you just said there, Mayo, it's in respects of a new manager coming in and changing it. I think that new manager of the right caliber comes in, and whatever's going on, the noise, he'll stop the noise up there because of what he's trying to do down here. Whoever's coming into Chelsea now, and it is Poch, right?
Could be
Poch. It should be worrying for Chelsea that it's kind of dragging on, even though, you know what I mean, we know that these things take time. But like, I think a manager of that level with the caliber of players he's got, the young players, and the way that someone like Poch can get those players playing, I think he can sort out the football side very, very quickly. Because I think that he's got all the pieces. With watching last night and watching even Mudryk, I'm watching him and I'm really worried for him, because I think that the sooner he can get in a manager and a coach that can slow him down and calm him down and let him just slow down, he just seems to be just going a million miles an hour. He needs to slow down. The chances they missed, it's not like they're not creating.
With all of the players, there's so many narratives with players where a new manager has to come in and work individually one-on-one. If Lukaku comes back, this guy's been and gone from the club five different occasions. You need to work with him. Raheem Sterling is one of the greatest wingers we've seen in the Premier League. He's not where he wants to be. Fofana was one of the great prospects. He needs to get back to where he, there's so many players and pieces that need not just coaching, but mentoring and aiding and management. And
this is a side what I thought Frank might have had in respect of the mentoring.
And this is where I am so confused by what's happened there, because I've always said Frank's side, from what we understand, what we've seen, is when it comes to young players, he gets it. Yeah, he may not get you over the line or get you where you want to be in terms of the performances, but he understands young players. You've seen it with the Mason Mounts, the Reece James, the list goes on and on and on. It seems a little bit here where anytime he's asked, I don't want to say the players are not of the quality, it just seems a bit tainted. And I get he must be tired. I also get after the Madrid fixture, there's nothing to play for this season. Everyone's heads are pretty much gone. But I've not seen any uptick or any sort of movement forward. Someone asked me, who would Chelsea's player of the season be? And I scratched my head for a long time.
Well, aren't they scrapping the awards as well?
Which I think
they're not having one.
They're not doing it on the pitch anyway on Sunday, right?
Yeah. And it's like, who would you even pick? Kepa? Because he's improved and showing that he can actually save the ball a little bit.
And also this summer, I think it's going to be really interesting because obviously with an extension of what you said, Mo, is that Lampard, we know, isn't hanging around. He never was meant to be. But a lot of the players that he was credited with sort of
bringing
up, Mason Mount, likely to go. Yep. Ruben Loftus-Cheek, likely to go. Callum Hudson-Odoi, likely to go. So there is going to be a new generation to bed in. And a lot of the fans haven't built a relationship with any of these new signings yet because they haven't impressed. They haven't done what they were led to believe they were going to do, and they haven't been in a comfortable situation and been able to excel. So the situation hasn't helped, but it's going to be really tough for Poch as well, if it is Poch, which it looks like it's going to be, to try and create that culture and that positivity around the place, because it's just going to be a squad as well of players who don't know Chelsea.
So this is the one thing where with Poch, and I want to give credit to United, because even though the game was a bit scrappy, there's a lot of that we need to speak about United. But with Poch, one thing you have to respect him for is when he got to Spurs, Spurs wasn't this place that he turned it into. Mm-mm. He managed to galvanise and create a team, 4-2-3-1, fans grew an affinity with the players, and he managed to do something. Yeah, they didn't go and achieve anything great or win. Of course, they got to a Champions League final.
If he got backed, he probably would have.
Exactly. If he got backed, he probably would have. So for him, this is a massive moment for him because the PSG appointment didn't go great. I think he has the lowest win percentage of anyone that went there in recent times.
But him just being in that dressing room would help massively.
Exactly. So now you have an opportunity to put all of those pieces together and hopefully go forward. And I think in terms of someone who understands tactics and man management, this is a really, really big role for him. And I think he can do that because it doesn't take much. Just get players enjoying football again. I don't think anyone at Chelsea, come from the fans to the management to the coaching, has enjoyed football this season.
You know something? It's what Flo said about I'm trying to find a player to season for them. And that is very difficult no matter how badly you're playing. I guarantee you, even you go down to Southampton, the three teams that go down, whoever they are, you will be able to find one player that the fans can recognise as
outstanding
performance for us this season. When you've got players of that level, that calibre, and you can't find one player.
Spooky.
That's scary. But Thiago Silva, probably, maybe. No. Jesus, that's just because he just came to me.
there's no one that you'd run to or unanimously say. But
I'm going to do that to a couple of my Chelsea fans, man, and say, who's your player of the season?
Text going out of the group chat after this.
Sam Kerr.
Exactly.
And even that is supposed to be real, because that's another conversation.
That's for another day.
But Man United, you know, when you look at, you look at Ten Hag, what he's done from last season and like what he's done to this season, there's improvement. Whatever anyone says, everybody expects so much from Manchester United because of who they are and their history and what they do. But this man is incrementally improving this team slowly. And now I'm hearing that they're linked with man like Declan Rice, Mason Mount as well. All them man, they're trying to bring Harry Kane. They're bringing you up. So, you know, you have to look at it and say, again, Man United are coming, and you watch them. When you watch them in certain instances in their game, you can see something, you think, wow. They can do wow things, but they can't do it continually.
Do you know
if
what
they get a number nine, if they get Harry Kane, people, don't you realize what's going to happen?
I think it is impressive because we spoke about them, what, maybe start this year as being potential challengers in the title race, and that did drop off a bit. But at the same time, much like Arsenal were ahead in their schedule, this was meant to be Champions League and they ended up pushing for the title and finishing runners-up. This is Ten Hag's first season. There is another full pre-season ahead, another transfer window ahead. There are some signings that haven't quite worked out. Antony came off injured yesterday. Yes. He's not one that's massively worked out. We'll have to wait and see how bad his injury is. But I think it's exciting and it's really positive for Manchester United fans. They've got a domestic trophy, Champions League, and potentially an FA Cup. Mm. We expect City to win that. But still, that's for your first season in charge in a new league you haven't got experience. That is
Manchester
really
United
impressive.
As well. You've got to understand the pressure of doing that for Man United, because at the start of this season, people expect, and Man United fans expect, to be in the Champions League. And when you looked at them a lot of this lot of times this season, let's not forget that earlier on in the season, because it feels like this season's like 10 years old.
The Brentford game.
We've all aged. The Ronaldo, all the stuff that was going on behind the scenes, the Ronaldo stuff. This man has turned that round, and now Man United have qualified for the Champions League, which in Man United's eyes is like, it's the bare minimum. Yeah. But they've done it because where they've been and where they're going, they had to kind of like reset. They're resetting. Yeah. I thought last night, to manage
all the noise, like you say, of Ronaldo and all the other drama, and
that
just
was this
being
season.
Casemiro
Manchester
getting suspended for four games,
exactly, and just being Manchester United manager is a task in itself. Of all the people that have been chewed up and spat out of that football club, I think is tremendous and is a sign of Ten Hag's ability that he has kind of withstood that and got all the fans on side, and everyone is so excited for next season.
Carl Anka said, at the beginning of the season, I remember he said it so poetically, Ten Hag's job is to stop United fans saying, what about Poch? And he done that. Like you said, overcame the Ronaldo situation, overcame your key player getting suspended and get red cards, overcame issues with, you know, is this player going to perform and whatnot, handled player Wan-Bissaka improved, Sancho's back in the fold.
Dodgy start to the season.
This Man United season is like writing your dissertation, and it's like, it's getting better. I can't hand it in now, but this will probably get me a 2-1.
I've got a bit more to give you, but if I gave it to you now, you wouldn't fail me.
Exactly. And for them to walk away, when you talk about seasons pound for pound, for them to walk away with Champions League, a domestic trophy, and another cup final, when you look at it without the context, that is probably up there in terms of the UK team, Premier League team seasons.
I'd probably take that season.
And only City, exactly. Only City have done better.
It's an uncomfortable
conversation. Only City have done better this season.
Exactly.
Because as much as Arsenal have a fantastic season, they're not going to finish.
How many points are United behind Arsenal?
Has Flo managed to kick us in the nuts like that?
Is it 9 points they're behind Arsenal? Something like that?
Is it 9 points?
Yeah. Oh, what, in the end, United, you mean?
Yeah. Right now, yeah.
Because they've got the League Cup, it kind of balances it.
Yeah, it balances up.
But there's no way, even, no, this isn't about us, but we finished second, man, trying to chase down, you know, the Hulk, because they chased you down. Tom and Jerry. Well, they chased us, but we're trying to hold off the Hulk then. And we're like Jerry and Tom and Jerry. We can't hold off the Hulk.
You've held off the Hulk and you've let everyone else win shit as you're trying to hold them off. I don't know about that strategy.
So that's what we were doing. We're holding the door, and everybody's just like, thank you.
There is someone that we need to speak about though.
Marcus, bro.
Sir Marcus Shellington Rashford. My word.
30 goals, man.
30 goals. First player since RVP to do it for them. And I want to give him a shout because...
You're giving flowers?
Yeah, I want to give him flowers, man.
I want to give him flowers
because sometimes, and you can speak to this more than anyone, right? Sometimes I feel like when you're a young player and you break through or you're striking, you break through and you become the person that's depended upon, people forget that you have to develop. And at no point since when he broke through has he been able to just develop and learn or have a strike in front of him to take notes. It's always, we need you. The Ole campaigns, keep playing through injury. This year, for 70% of their season, he carried them. That's with them spending money on big signing wingers that weren't ultimately delivering. He carried them. And the second where the goals dry up a little bit, he's not playing well. He's doing this. He's doing that. I'm sorry. He can't do all the work by himself. For him to get to 30 goals, considering how the last few seasons have been, considering the numbers last season, to get 30 goals, credit to him. And
yeah,
we said that we feel like he's finding his space.
I think that, you hit the nail on the head, but I would like to add to that. I think he's actually getting properly coached, not only from Ten Hag, but I think that Benny McCarthy's helping him. The way he's getting into the box now, the way he's getting into the box and heading, getting some of his headed goals, you could see that he's been told stuff. He looks like he's getting coached, and he's taking it on board. And this is why, you know, like I mentioned Mudrick, I could see Mudrick at some stage, if somebody goes, whoa, hold your horses here. We're going to really channel this power and this skill. I think like Marcus is now going through that. He's going through that because you can see that he is somebody that is thinking more about his game, you know, thinking about how he's playing, thinking about how clinical he could be. You know, I would like to see Marcus continue to be scoring that level of goals because he's proven that he can do it, you know. But like one of the things as well, I have to like emphasize on as well, is the fact that he's come through the Man United Academy with pressure all the way through, because that's what's happening, especially when you're one of those players that they say, we got the next guy coming, it's Marcus Rashford, bam, makes his debut against Michelin, scores two, plays against Arsenal on a Saturday, scores two, gets into England, scores on his debut. We're seeing somebody who's continually, like you say, while he's developing, he's doing stuff, he's doing bits. And so then when it gets to a stage with this young guy who's developing, his body's still growing, and then he gets the injuries, then the amount of stick that he gets for what was going on off the pitch in respect of his business interests and what he's doing, I can't even get into the same vicinity of headspace what he's done at his age, because like obviously I was older by the time I got into the game, and like I learned in a place like Palace undercover, not in the spotlight like him, nowhere near the spotlight. So it's a different kind of development, and now he's doing it with the noise. And I just feel that he's becoming something very special, man. I really do believe that.
No, I've got a lot of time for him, man. Fair play to him, because record breaker, man. Constantly always finding a new record to break. I respect it so early.
Myra, I want to ask you, because you talked about Benny McCarthy, and I know you talked to Bunny Shaw at City about Sean Gota's role at City now. So if Chelsea could bring in a coach, is it Jimmy Floyd Hasselbeck? Who could they bring in to become that figure potentially for Mudrick? Because it actually feels like across the men's and women's game, we're seeing these former greats
Kelly Smith at Arsenal,
and really shape young, exciting players. Or not, they don't even need to be young, but also just make players better and really hone in on like striking and finishing and all that kind of stuff. So who could do that for Chelsea?
It's a good question, man. It's a good,
you have to find one.
I love Gudjonsson because he was one of those first hybrid footballers that could just fit into spaces. Hasselbank as a manager as opposed to working a specific thing. Where's people at Damien Duff these days? Damien Duff was lightning on the wing.
That's a good question, actually.
Where is he at? Maybe he wants to come back for 6 weeks.
Shelbourne, that's it. Shelbourne. Yeah.
Bring me Damien Duff. To be fair, hold on. I've got it.
Okay.
Rather than running marathons, can Iron Robin come back to the Chelsea Iron and Robin. Teach us how to have proper wing play?
My gosh. How can we not, if that just should have came straight to our heads, Iron Robin. Iron Robin should come and show Mudrick. Whoa, baby.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, the marathons
Man's
are great.
Man's running marathons.
I respect it, but please come and teach us how
to score
goals.
Also, I'm sorry, but I know Jesse runs marathons, part of our Coward Press crew, but I think if you're a retired footballer and you've got time to run marathons, you're bored and you need a new hobby.
Bring him home.
He needs to be stimulated. He can become a coach, no problem.
I think something needs to be done, because when I look at I keep going back to Mudrick because I'm very excited by him. I could see it, but like even when you look at his face, his demeanor, he looks really intense, doesn't he? His face is like really like.
I think it's easy as well to kind of target young players and say, you know, you've got to seize the opportunity and you've got to take the moment, but you always see how these players are maturing in real time, whether it's on social media, whether it's on the pitch. And that's the tough side of being a footballer, is it's so visible. Imagine if we were going through that same thing at our age, Myra, making all these mistakes as teenagers and having everyone watching it. So it is hard, because he's been thrown into a completely different environment where he was a highly rated player there, but you know, he was a hero and a big star in his home nation, but globally he hadn't really broken through. This has changed the whole dynamic. Everyone is watching him. Everyone is following him. His every move. So he needs to also maybe get a better understanding of that and seize the moment and stop posting silly videos.
Yeah, but again, you can't blame people too much simply because of the process, the journey, and the learning. I would have thought that he would have been somebody that he wouldn't do something like that. But like I say, he's young, he's learning. I want someone to come in and get that guy on the right track.
With United, though, I mean, that's...
They're coming, man.
Are you scared about next season?
I have to be a little bit, simply because too many teams didn't perform as well. We did. I'm quite pleased that. And I'm a bit about that, I should say. But I'm hoping that we can perform to the same level and better, because I think we're going to have to. Too many teams didn't perform this season, you know.
Next season, with all these teams coming back, and then that middle pack, Brighton, everything.
You know, Villa. You have to mention Villa as well, because Unai's probably got something cooking, because he's not getting enough love for what he's done when he took Villa over to where they are now. You know what I mean? They're on the brink of like the conference.
Yeah.
You know, if that happens, you know, absolutely unbelievable Aston Villa. And they're coming as well. So I'm very much excited about next season. Because I want to see players under pressure performing at that level. That's what it's about.
So you've done the United one. Mm-hmm. If United can do this in chaos, if they can manage to get De Gea Golden Glove in this chaos, everything that they've managed to do with all of their away losses, next year could be very scary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Very, very sad news this week with the passing of the great Tina Turner. You know what? Before I even get going properly, Tina Turner is going to be the first musician in the Righty's House Wall of Fame. Honestly, this woman, even before I knew anything about anything, this woman was a major part of my life, simply because the first song I properly remembered on the radio when I was growing up was like River Deep, Mountain High. I just remember it. And everything, obviously, what she went through, I remember at the time, you know, my mum was going through the same kind of vibe. And then obviously you don't know what's going on. But then Tina Turner's record, especially that one, when you hear it, always made me feel a little bit anxious and weird. So when you grow up and you see how her story went, you know, with Ike and, you know, the abuse for like 20 years, 21 years, to the point she had to walk out in the middle of the night in the rain and all that sort of stuff. Her life... Every time I think of it, I remember my mum always used to cry listening to some of her songs. And then I saw the film and I started crying about it, because then it brings me back. But what that lady has done to transform herself from the time she started to the time till she finished. And then she said, I read something the other day where she said, you know, I am so happy because I came here and did exactly what I was supposed to do. You know what I mean? And like you think of everything, what she's done, what she's been through, abuse and the singing, the legendary singer that she is. I was so sad. I was even, you know, like people like Michael Jackson and James Brown and now Tina Turner and Prince, you know, those people when they pass, you know, obviously John Lennon got assassinated, but when those people pass, something happens, man. You feel something deep, you know?
Yeah, and it was actually quite strange, because on Tuesday we were talking about her, weren't we? Because we were talking about her story and the musical, and you were saying, you know, it is really hard for you to engage in it, because it is quite traumatic for you to think about her story and your mum and everything. So it felt really strange that we were speaking about that on Tuesday, and then Wednesday night, the next day that happened.
Yeah.
And we were obviously talking about the group chat as well. And there's some amazing live videos that you can watch on YouTube, full 2 hour sets of like Tina Turner at Wembley and everything. And
unbelievable.
I saw a message that, an Instagram post that, Clara Amfo put out on the night of her death. And it was amazing because I think she made a really powerful point about not just how great she was, but also her influence on other artists and saying, you know, we wouldn't really have probably Beyonce without Tina Turner. We wouldn't have Lizzo without Tina Turner, is that she was such an icon, but she also did what we've seen in modern music. We've seen with Prince, we've seen with artists like Lady Gaga, where you constantly not reinvent yourself, but you change and adapt your style. Beyonce does that too, right? Is that Tina Turner died a rock and roll legend, but she started out as kind of like blues and Motown.
Yeah, yeah.
So to then go through that whole career, starting as an 18-year-old and then to die as an 83-year-old as a rock and roll legend, from singing gospel choirs in church to what she did, it's an incredible journey.
Force of nature.
It's amazing as well that in her latter years, she met the love of her life, her wonderful husband, and she had such a nice and joyful last few years as well. They met in an airport. He was working in music. It's so romantic. It's such a fairy tale. He was much younger than her as well, which I feel like is, you know, you don't normally get it that way around. And they didn't get married until 2013, but they had a beautiful life together. I'm so happy. That also makes me feel
that
really
makes
warm
me
inside.
Feel very warm inside.
What I'm grateful for is, in the midst of all of this, it's obviously very sad that she's passed, but everyone's speaking about the joy. If you think about the amount of tragedy that was within her story, whether that's her two sons passing, sort of the moments in her life, everyone's speaking about the joy that she brought to the world and the fact that she was able to be so joyous and give out so much amazing energy. And as you said, Flo, she influenced so much. This is someone that I think won 10 Grammys, the first black person, first woman on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, this is someone that achieved so, so, so much. And ultimately, for so many people, even if they weren't in tune, someone that's synonymous with football, simply the best, rings out every single time someone wins. I remember, I can't remember what show it was, but you would hear Tina Turner in random moments. So like, for instance, if there's talk about a player wanting to leave a football club, what's love got to do? Like, she's so synonymous with sport without even knowing it. And I think there's so much beauty that no matter whether you're into music or not, there's so many touch points that she would have touched you across. And, you know, what a legacy she's left behind.
I'm just pleased that she's getting the love. She's getting the love now for what she was, her performance, how good she was, how great she was as a performer. You know what I mean? And the happiness she brought. And I just pray that she did just pass happily with her wonderful husband. You know, she deserved that. Why do some people get the journey they get, man? But then they get it and then they inspire. You know, but, well, Tina Turner, man, I don't know. I'm so sad. Like I say, she's going to be the first musician on the Writers' House Wall of Fame, because she deserves to be. So you're on my Wall of Fame, Tina, wherever you are. God bless. So thank you very much. I'm gonna have to say goodbye on that note to Flo Lloyd Hughes and Mayel Quadri. Thank you very much for coming in the house, guys. It's always a pleasure to have you in. I do like when the young people come in because I get energy.
The Crash.
Writers' Crash.
That's what we should change it to with Mio and Flo in here. Writers' Crash. So take it easy. Your parents are waiting outside.
Soft play is over.
Okay, thank you very much for listening, everybody. We'll see you soon. Whatever you're doing, do it well. Take it easy.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the Kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.